Welcome back to another edition of A Positive View of Rural. Today we are talking with Joe Borgstrom, who is the Director of Downtown and Community Services Division at the Michigan State Housing Development Authority, or the way they commonly call it, MISHDA. So welcome, Joe.
Thanks, Becky. Glad to be here.
I'm very glad to have you on. You and I have known each other online and have seen each other at conferences for several years, like a lot of years if I think about it. And I've always had really great conversations with you because you're one of the people that puts a lot of deep thought into issues that relate to small towns and rural areas and about what the fact that towns do have a future, but not necessarily every single town has a future. And I really have appreciated your thinking and conversations on these topics with you. I know that one of the big programs that you work with is Main Street, and you work with some other programs as well. So why do you like the Main Street approach?
Well, first of all, Becky, thank you. I really appreciate that introduction, and I've always enjoyed our conversations as well because you've always been thought-provoking and pushed me on a couple of ideas too. So our running conversation over the last 7-8 years or whatever it is, I always look forward to. So thank you for having me on. One of the things I love about Main Street, actually the thing I love about it the most, is that it doesn't take somebody with an advanced degree to do. This is grassroots at its very core. It is about people making change. It is about being authentic to the community, to itself. And basically, it's not about somebody from the outside coming in to fix your town. It's about the town fixing their town.
I like that a lot. I mean, that is the essential thing. The best solutions always end up coming from within. Even when some help comes in from the outside, the solutions and the best solutions always come up from within, inside of small towns.
That's right.
So how many different communities do you work with in Main Street now in Michigan?
In Michigan, we have 40 communities across three levels. We have three levels of engagement. We have the associate level, which is kind of that beginner level. We have the selected level, which is a very intensive kind of a 5-year process that communities are part of. And then we have what's called the master level. And we created the master level because when we, 11 years ago when we started this program, it was originally intended to be a 3-year program. Communities came into the program, they were in it for 3 years, and they moved on. Well, about partway through that, we realized that we were jamming so much in the 3 years that communities weren't taking advantage of it. So we expanded the program to be 5 years. And then at the end of that 5 years, that first class who went through there came back to us and said, we don't want to go. We think this is a really, useful program. This is something that we really enjoy, talking with the other communities. It's really kind of more of a fraternity, really, a very educational fraternity, mind you. But it's this brotherhood amongst the communities that they really like. So we created this master level because, not only did they want to be a part of it, we wanted to continue to have them be a part of it because they were great role models for the other communities. So we created this master level to help keep communities engaged as long as they want to be engaged.
I think that an amazing part of the best thing that small towns can do through Main Street or any other program is to connect with other communities that are very much like them, but in a different area. And across Michigan, you have so much territory that you have the opportunity to connect towns that otherwise are not going to, they may be 5, 6, and more hours apart, but find out they have a lot of the same challenges.
Yeah, we do. People don't realize it, I think, sometimes how geographically big the state is. And Michigan itself, people don't realize, too. I always like to tell people that, you can drive from Detroit to Atlanta faster than you can drive to Detroit to Calumet, which is up in the Upper Peninsula, on the western side of the Upper Peninsula. We actually have two different time zones in our state. Most people don't know that either. So we do have a lot of communities who are all over the place, and we have communities who are on the border with Wisconsin up in the UP. We have communities who are on the border with Ohio and Indiana. So we've got people from all over, and that's one of the things that we really like is that, our staff is very knowledgeable and they do a ton of the trainings, and especially at the associate level though. But what we do is we utilize the communities who are part of that program because, half that is talking to our professional staff, but the other half is talking to the other communities. It's actually getting them to walk around and see, hey, they're not so different from us, and they've been able to do this, so let's get our act together and do this too. And it's business owners talking to business owners, it's Main Street managers talking to Main Street managers, and city managers talking to city managers.
It also avoids this problem that I see a lot with small towns, which is the same two examples within the state get used over and over again. And so, you know, if you live in any other town than one of the two superstar towns, you feel like you're constantly hearing about, you know, that, why can't you be more like your brother, you know? He's the star, and they do really great, and you should be more like them. And, you know, you just get tired of hearing about the same two towns that do every, you know, so they're wonderful, great, but we're not them. But you can find a lot more similarity with a town that is, you know, hours and hours removed from you, and you would never have known how connected you can be, even if neither one of you is all that well known. And a lot of times the towns that are really well known examples, they have just as much complexity and as many issues as anybody else. It's just that they're the ones that get talked about and their success gets talked about.
That's true, and we have seen that, certainly seen that happen from communities in the UP, talking to people in the Lower Peninsula. Sorry, UP is the Upper Peninsula. I'm using my Michigan slang. But people up in the Upper Peninsula, communities in the Upper Peninsula, coming down below the bridge and you know, getting to know some of those communities. But I'll tell you what, you know, a really good example of that first kind of be more like your brother is up in Boyne City, where, you know, Boyne City is in the northwest part of the Lower Peninsula, so it's within about a half hour, 45 minutes of Traverse City, which a lot of folks seem to know where Traverse City is. So, you know, there are some very affluent neighboring communities there who get a lot of Chicago money, and they get a lot of, you know, they're very high-end kind of communities. And Boyne City is this little blue-collar town that used to have a tannery. And they're on Lake Charlevoix, which is a beautiful lake. And they were a very industrial town. And over the last 11 years, you know, they were part of our very first class of Main Street. They have really turn themselves around. They've got a very hip art district. They've got, you know, a lot of great small local businesses that cater to the local community that just also happen to be now a really good tourist town, because tourists tend to really like authentic communities, and that's what Boyne City has become. Now, what we've seen since then is that we've got other communities like Charlevoix and Petoskey and East Jordan and others who are up in that neighborhood who are relatively more affluent communities who've, you know, their economies have kind of slowed down, and now all of a sudden they're looking at Boyne City and saying, wow, how are these guys doing this? You know, it is, you know, just the opposite almost of saying, you know, they've had a very affluent kind of economic situation for 20 or 30 years, and now they're starting to slow down, and they're seeing this other city, you know, kind of shoot past them, and they're wanting to know what the miracle is. And the miracle was, it wasn't a miracle. It's a lot of hard work for about 10 years. And so we're now starting to see a lot of interest from those surrounding communities.
I think this is a really great point about the foundational work that you have to do, and it takes 10 years, and then suddenly it's the overnight success, and everybody goes, wow, look at the great job they did. And they want to look at your last project, the one thing that you just did that everyone sees, and go, oh, well, that was the key, so we'll just do one of those, whatever it was. You know, the last thing you did was a shop local campaign, so everyone thinks that's the thing. Or, you know, that kind of paying attention when the success happens misses the work that went into making it work. That's one of the things I like about the Main Street approach and the four-point approach, which I'll put a link in the show notes for you guys that are listening, that so you can see exactly what the four points are of the four-point approach. And I know some of you know the four points by heart because you're Main Street people. But the other thing about Main Street that I wanted, one of the key components of that is about the economic development is not the way I want to say this. You'll say it right. You'll tell me the right name for this point, but that is growing your own businesses and developing your businesses within your community. What's the right name for that?
Economic restructuring.
Economic restructuring. I knew it had a name. So in developing your businesses, this is one of the most important pieces to me, although all four of them are very important. So many people are taught when they start looking at any type of working with their community and trying to improve the economic situation in their community, they want to think about recruiting businesses. And they don't look as much at what businesses either already exist within our community or are about to form in our community, or what businesses would it make sense for somebody local to get started in. Can it really work like that in a small town? Can you just rely on the businesses that either exist now or are shortly to exist within your community? Is that sustainable?
You know, I think it can be. I think a good, healthy mix is always good. You know, I'll tell you that as a professional economic developer for a good portion of my career, you know, everyone wants to see the new business come to town. That's the sexy thing, is you've been able to convince somebody who's not from here to come here. And so, you know, that's kind of the thing that people want to run to. And that can be good in a lot of cases, especially if you have a dearth a lot of vacancies. If you need some folks to do that, that's great. But what we really teach when we do a market analysis, as an example, as part of our Main Street program, the first thing that we tell folks is take it to the existing businesses, because they're the ones who are already there. You know, you want to first and foremost reward the people who've already made the investment in your community. You don't want them to get buyer's remorse. But not only that, but you might want to give them additional information. So if you get a market analysis back, as an example, that says, you know, you can handle, you know, X amount number of, you know, I don't know, pick a product. But you go to somebody who has something already, you know, already has an existing business who carries a complementary product, that's an opportunity for them to, you know, expand their business a little bit and earn more money to help stay in the community and stay in business. They can do that in a much more cost-effective manner than somebody coming in from the outside to set up a new shop. So the first thing we tell folks is take your market analysis, go take it to the existing businesses and tell them about it. Let them know what's in there so they can take advantage of it first. Then, if people aren't willing to do that, then you look to the outside. But you always want to make sure that you're helping your existing businesses first.
Very good. What I would like to do at this point is, we have like another probably 15 minutes of stuff that you and I would like to talk about. So we're going to take a break in our call. And actually, if you're listening, you'll hear the rest of this episode next week, because we're going to talk about placemaking, because Joe was involved in placemaking before placemaking was cool. So thank you very much for talking with us today about Main Street, Joe. I really appreciate it. And everybody, Joe's going to be back with us again next week to talk more about placemaking.
Thanks a lot, Becky.